Hello. It was a good start, wasn't it?
Oh, let's not do this anymore.
Do not the podcast anymore.
Yeah, screw it.
Are you Richard Herring?
It's all gone.
It's all rubbish.
Episode 103.
100, that is ridiculous, isn't it?
Think ludicrous. About it. 100. It's late, we've eaten too much, we've both got colds, and yet still...
Still we persist.
We persist with our calling.
Because of our calling. Our heavenly calling.
Heavenly.
When the Lord has given you a gift as unique and special as ours, you can't deny people it.
I saw a podcast there, not John Hodgman's one, but one that was fairly popular.
Uh-huh.
And they had 5 reviews on iTunes. We've got 49 or something.
We've got 72, I think, last time I looked.
No, actual reviews, not just...
Oh, not just ratings.
So thank you, all those who did it. And anybody who
there's only 10,000 people listening. Thanks so much to all 72 people that could be bothered to click on the star.
The rest of them may be illiterate. So they may be illiterate. They might not know what stars mean.
How are they finding the podcast to listen to it in the first place?
It's being piped into their nursing homes.
That's what it
on
is.
On hospital radio.
Frantic nurses downloading the podcast.
Yes.
We have to have something to kill these bastards.
Why did you use that rude word? You know that's considered a very rude word in the UK, unlike in the US.
I know, isn't that strange?
We've discussed that before.
I know. Do you know why, though?
Why?
I don't know, I was just asking... But I thought I'd ask in a fashion that made it sound like I knew.
I have 2 legs and 1 arm and 3 noses. What am I? I am the day, but not the night. Do I give you a fright? No, I don't, for I am the curtain that closes and opens. Will I be better or worse during the winter or the summer? Or is it the spring, a red day or a red night or a blue sky makes the rain come?
You're the best at riddles.
Now, who am I and when did I be?
£4.50.
No, the answer is... The wind and time. And time.
And life.
Multiplied.
That one about...
By stochasticity.
That one about 4 legs, 2 legs and 1 leg makes me really cross.
It does.
Because old people don't hop.
No. Hoppity hop.
Was it 3 legs? Was it a cane or something?
Talking about hopping, that's a new rule. We decided that there's been a terrible devaluation, inflation.
Nick, you're breaking all the rules. We need to tell what we're not talking about.
Well, we're clearly not talking about the host pipe ban.
Absolutely.
Now, there's been a terrible...
We're not talking about how outrageous it is that there's a host pipe ban and there's a flood warning.
What's going on?
The front page of the Daily Express.
It's political correctness gone. Damn.
The front page of the Express the other day.
You're discussing this.
I know, and I'm determined to stop. This is why we're not discussing it, because the front page of the Express said,
oh my god, look at our waveforms.
That's not what they said on the front page of the Express. It's like, I'll level it, it'll be fine.
Right, I think we're going to clip for the first time ever.
That'll be very exciting. They said,
racist.
Now, what's up, being racist against a few tribes. I can't be bothered to say what they said. I'm too full of cold. They just said, we're in a house hosepipe ban, and now there's a flood warning. As if it was like, now the crazy old government's introduced a flood warning.
That government just playing games with us all. Yes, as I was saying, we have a new rule, because there's been terrible, terrible audience inflation. And so the standing ovation has been devalued.
Oh, yes, that's right. So if you watch programmes of a Saturday evening's nature...
All the pleb ticklers, as we call them.
That Nick just made me watch.
Yeah, The Voice.
People stand up to express mild interest.
Yes.
That is basically, if someone comes on and doesn't just start screaming...
Or vomiting over the audience.
Or fighting an imaginary bear or something like that. They'll
or buggering a baby.
Instantly stood on their feet.
Well done for not buggering a baby!
And clapping, exactly. So it's like, oh, you opened your mouth and a clock didn't fall out. So, so we need to go. I argue that the next level of ovation, she should stand on a chair.
I don't think that's good enough.
Nick wants...
Because it's still just a standing ovation, just a bit higher.
Yeah, but it's a bit more effort.
Yeah, but it needs to be a lot more
effort. Also, I think standing ovations are disablest. And we shouldn't do them.
Well, then my plan's not going to go
very... Your plan is even more gross.
I think there should be hopping ovations.
Hopping ovations. Now, with clapping as
on one foot, as hopping is wont to be.
Jumping is otherwise the whole solution. Hopping on no feet is falling.
Yes.
And 2 feet is jumping. So.
And 3 feet
is
well endowed.
Dawn.
And painful as well, can you imagine? Oh.
I don't want to imagine jumping on my winky.
Jumping on your own winky would be a problem.
It's a nightmare for me, though, Nick, because it's so long.
Since you made that joke.
Since I wish I hadn't started this.
Yeah.
We should have some booze.
Okay, well, what booze shall we have?
We've got three plastic cups, because your wife is fed up of you chinking the glasses too hard. Racist.
What are we having, John?
Apparently we're having some dewy drink.
It's very interesting.
It's kosher.
No, here's what's interesting. It's actually the remainders of some Passover wine. It's mm-hmm. very, very sweet. It'll taste like communion wine. Mm-hmm. Produce of
Israel.
Oh dear.
Well, I think it should be the bottle should be destroyed.
But it's a very, very old brand. And what's it called?
Palawin.
And it comes
number 10.
Yeah, now what does Palawin mean?
I have no idea.
Palestine wines.
Oh, that's interesting.
From when Palestine meant Jew.
Anti-Semitic wine.
It is.
I'm going to pour it like the man did in the restaurant.
Holding it right at the base so that his horrible, warm, hot, sticky hands can't make the wine...
Turn the wine.
Well, it was particularly with the champagne one does that. I've seen people do that on aeroplanes in turbulence. It's quite impressive.
Say when.
When? I really don't want too much.
I'm going to have a lot because I've got a horrible stinky cold.
You ready to say the 10 plagues now?
Go on then.
10 plagues of Egypt.
Locusts.
Dam, Svadea, Kinim, Arod. I can't remember the rest
foreign.
Of them.
Foreign. You're a terrible Jew.
You're a terrible
Jew. I'm a terrible
Jew
because we're a worse Jew.
You're far worse.
Yeah, but my mummy wasn't a Jew either. So, I've got a good excuse.
But your God, your God he was.
My God was a Jew.
Yeah.
He was the king of the Jews.
He was. Oh, yes, your great hero Mel Gibson's been playing up again.
Are you disappointed? Because you probably would have wanted to see that film, because it was about one of your
the
heroes.
The Maccabees, yeah, I really want him to be producing it.
Yes.
It's a bit like, why don't we get Richard Dawkins to produce the next...
Passion, this smells right. You've got bored of your sentence, yeah. I'll drink instead.
Now, if you want something just to taste sweet, I mean, that's basically just sweet grape juice.
It's not like pudding wine. It's much more like grape juice, yes.
It's grape juice, but made a bit sweeter.
With an edge.
Mm. Yeah, it is grape juice with a slight edge and made sweeter to take the edge off again. In a plastic cup.
In a plastic cup, which I believe is how most sommeliers will like you to...
Shall we chink? Right, it's going to be quite close. Okay. Here. 1, 2, 3. John, what have you been doing today?
I went to...
Besides giving me a cold.
You cannot get a cold in an afternoon.
Well, from you I can.
You already had one. In fact, this is my second cold in a row, so if I get a third one from you now, that's it.
Mm.
Cancel the podcast.
Yeah.
We went to a restaurant, didn't we, Nick?
We did.
A big posh restaurant.
You like it?
It was very interesting and exciting, and there was some yummy food.
Yeah.
I ate stuff what I'd done never eat before.
You did.
Like eel, haven't had eel.
Yeah. And what else did you eat?
Oyster, haven't had that.
What else did you have?
Thingies, I can never remember. This is what happened to eat them, it's just simply because I can't remember what they're called.
Yes, well, you've got a menu, so you can...
What are the round, fishy things called?
They're called... You had scallops, didn't you? Yes.
You didn't, because you're Jewish and it's not possible for you to have eaten them.
No, and what else was there? The most prosaic sounding one, I think, was the best, the beef.
Oh my goodness, that was an amazing piece of beef.
The fillet and then the little short ribs.
The short rib was great, but the fillet was just, it was just incredible.
It's like the platonic essence of what you want beef to be when you're trying to get a vegan to imagine what they're missing. Isn't it?
It was amazing.
And your wife Laura was there.
That's
and my
true.
Wife Victoria was there as mm-hmm. well.
Both wives.
And there was a little plate which wished you a happy anniversary. But it wasn't really anniversary, but never mind.
Our sixth anniversary was last month.
Well, it was a wedding gift, so it was a sort of happy wedding anniversary.
Happy wedding would have been a bit weird.
Yeah, a bit odd.
Especially for the restaurant, I think.
Yes. Well, we just got married in between the seventh and eighth course. Yeah. And now we're having the honeymoon. So,
yes,
computer games then.
Oh, we're talking about computer
I played
games.
Microsoft Flight.
You did, didn't you? Played a game.
It feels very barren.
It's weird, isn't it? I've not played it, but it's just Hawaii.
There's no other aeroplanes. There's no population.
Oh, you can play multiplayer.
The air doesn't move. The trees. It's all a bit odd. It's like a zombie land.
If you play multiplayer, then there will be other planes in the sky, I believe.
Hmm.
No,
and it was free, though. It was free.
Yeah, but it keeps begging me to download weird other things. Is this what games are these days? They're basically begging balls. I don't like that. I don't like it.
There is a big movement to free to what's gone into free to play gaming.
Well, I don't like it.
But and it's a fad. It's a fad. Like MMO was a fad 5 years ago, and the next fad will appear soon enough. It's the mainstream fad. The obviously there's currently the indie fads of bundles as well. That's the other thing.
Oh yes, the bundles where they put lots of mediocre games together.
No, they don't. Well, yes, there are. Oh gosh,
it's like an album.
No, it's not.
An album with a few hits and then a few B-sides.
There's not enough songs for that. So not enough games for that to work.
It's an EP.
There are some average ones. There's some mediocre ones. But no, there's been some really superb ones. Especially the Humble bundles. They tend to be the highest caliber of games.
The Hummer.
And you can pay as little as you want and so on and so forth. Yes. And they make millions of dollars.
That's good.
Which is amazing.
Well, there's been a lot of it going about with these Kickstarter things
as
well.
This is true.
And I noticed that there's several more. Every time I log in to Twitter now, I see that Judge Coxcomb has backed a new game that's being redeveloped from the days
of the Amiga. But what's happening is this weird thing of all these 80s...
I assume the backlash has happened now, surely.
There's a few that aren't going to get funded, certainly. Yes.
But I assume the backlash from your journalists and they say, oh, this is all rubbish, let's go back to the status quo now, please.
No. Not at all. Everyone's very excited.
It'll happen quite soon.
Well, no.
After the first failure.
No.
After the first failure, it will happen. My words. Have you marked my words? Can you mark them, please?
Yes, I'm giving them 3 out of 10.
I want to appeal that mark.
Well, you can't. Go to the back of the class.
Okay.
Okay. What will happen is people will become sick of them. And that's already happening. There's so many Kickstarters now that people have got Kickstarter fatigue.
Yes.
However,
like charity fatigue. Compassion fatigue.
When someone like Brian Fargo announces he wants to make Wasteland 2, he's going to get the money. And so all these old developers from the 80s and early 90s are suddenly reappearing saying, hey, I've been in the background for a bit making not the games I want to make because I'm being forced to do stuff by publishers. But give me the money and I'll make the game I've always wanted me to make. And so now
I can make games again.
Exactly. And so that's the great. There's a really, it's really exciting just seeing a bunch of classic developers coming back and making stuff, which means, of course, everyone else is also coming forward. And so all the old adventure developers are doing it too.
That's very good.
I don't know. It's be interesting.
Have you ever been tempted to take any drug?
No.
None at all?
No. When I was at university, my housemates all smoked weed a lot, and I would help
them. That's a horrible smell.
I like the smell.
No, it's too sweet.
No, at first it's all right.
It smells like artificial sweetener. I don't like it.
At first it's all right, but after a while, man, it gets stale. But I used to help them build the paraphernalia by which we used to build like windmills and buckets and all sorts of interesting fun ways for them to take it. And even then, even in the middle of all of this, it still wasn't. There wasn't any temptation to try it because it just...
I don't like the smell of it. Whenever I walk past some deadbeat who's smoking it, it just always smells sickly. It smells of sick. And I just... It doesn't tempt me. If it smelled delicious, like sort of malt or vanilla or something, but it doesn't.
Bacon. That
horrible, sickly little
bacon smell. Smelling drugs. That would be the death of humanity.
Drugs.
Right there.
Drugs. Yeah.
It really hasn't ever tempted me. I mean, other than drinking alcohol, which I do in very small quantities.
Cocaine looks like it might be fun because it looks a bit like sherbet. You know, they rub it on the top of their gums on the movies to test it.
That's right.
I always think that's a bit like taking a sherbet dipper. Tangy.
But the thing is, it's not like sherbet.
But it probably wouldn't be
it's
tangy.
Not sweet and delicious. No,
it probably would just taste a bit like paracetamol.
Well, that's why I know people whose lives have been ruined by cocaine. So it doesn't that again?
But has it been ruined by cocaine or by what it's been cut by? If you had pure cocaine.
No, just the whole lifestyle and culture of it. And I have a couple of friends who have they put themselves back together again since, but where cocaine's been a real issue for them, and it wasn't.
I get a kick from cocaine. That was the original lyric.
Really?
Yes. And the original lyric.
I've got an amazing fact about cocaine for you. You're never going to believe this.
It used to be in Coca-Cola.
How did you already know?
As I've already said, because we told each other again in the podcast. And I told you about my grandmother's tin of throat pastilles from 1904 or something. It says, now with added cocaine. At the moment, I could do with some of those. Actually, my throat's feeling a little raw.
That's true. And then your throat would be like, blah, 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 for a little while and then crash.
Yeah.
That's what it would be. Cocaine just seems to make you a dick. And I'm already perfectly
too
capable
fast.
Of that.
Too fast as well. It's not like we talk slowly at the moment, is it?
I never quite understood the person who goes, how you get to that point when you go, I think I'll try heroin. Never.
Well, Victoria liked heroin. She thought it was very Moorish indeed.
Oh, morphine. Oh,
no, it wasn't morphine. It was dimorphine, heroin.
Okay, well, that's what I mean.
No, not morphine. Diamorphine. Heroin, it was a brand name for diamorphine. Mm-hmm. It was that compound which she had while she was in labour. And she said it was lovely.
I've had it for when I had my appendicitis.
No, you had morphine. You didn't have diamorphine. Oh, it's very different.
Well, I hated it.
Well, morphine is different. It's more dissociative.
Yes, that's what I didn't like. And didn't like the feeling of... I felt like I was floating just above the bed and all I wanted to do was get up and stand so I could touch the ground. And that was where my head was at with that, and I just felt very uncomfortable.
You had a bad trip.
Yeah, man.
Apparently LSD was going to be a very useful psychiatric drug, and then because people started having fun with it, they banned all further testing of it in that realm.
Sad. I thought it was more that they were testing it on students and the students were going mental.
No, it was there. It did look like it would have useful applications, but it became naughty and countercultural, and then they had to stop it. Yeah, I'm afraid so.
What about you? Is there any drug you've been tempted by?
No, well, they all seem to end in some sort of teary mess.
I mean, if you just use some foresight, it's like getting a tattoo.
But I see it in the same way as I see sugar and flour. Not necessarily that I mean that those are literally addictive drugs, but they are Neolithic substances which your body cannot really cope with and hasn't evolved to deal with in the amounts that you give to it.
Okay.
And it can't reach a happy homeostasis. So it overloads the pleasure center of your brain and that kind of thing in a way that whatever the actual problematic specific mechanism of the drug is itself problematic. You know, we've been built to gain pleasure from eating nice foods, from going on runs, from feeling self-esteem, from having sex, from feeling warm or cool when we need to, and from deriving love from the people whom we should love and so forth.
Right.
So to kind of overload those circuits with some short circuit to it, to get the chemical pump of that without actually earning it, so to speak, I don't think is just Protestant work ethic guilt, but actually is speaking about the truth of what we evolved to require. That said, most cultures have had, to contradict myself, some sort of shamanistic tradition where do use some sort of substance. So somewhere in between those two fairly convincing truths probably lies a falsehood.
Would you like to go on a spirit journey?
No, I wouldn't. Would you?
No, not really.
But don't you think that they have so much to teach us, these folk?
Simple folk.
At this cat.
Sorry, I'm going to take the cat off. I know you, but you're on the microphone.
She looks really angry.
She's furious with me because I keep stopping her from coming up. She's determined that she needs to be up here. Off you go.
I'll let her go up. I know what
she's rubbing against the microphone. It's going to sound rubbish.
Minnie, poor old Min.
Poor Minnie, no one loves
her. She's 16 years old.
I'm 34 years old.
Yeah, but in cat's ears.
Why are you putting her back in front of the microphone?
Because she's too sad.
Imagine if I did this with Dexter. You'd have got up and left in anger.
I would have killed him.
You would have slaughtered him.
How is Dexter?
Like a Game of Thrones character.
How is Dexter?
He's a cat.
How is he?
He's cat-like.
Doing well?
Yes, thanks. Well, I've abandoned him this weekend to fend for himself.
He'll probably be quite happy about that.
I put his whole day's food down at once this morning, and he'll have eaten all of that by lunchtime, and now he'll be going insane, wondering why he's not being fed. And tomorrow morning, he will die.
Fair enough. Or catch us.
He's learned. He's had, you know...
Or more likely, find new owners.
It's true. You know the case of the superstitious pigeon? Are you familiar with this?
No.
It was an experiment done in the 70s. A guy demonstrated that you could create superstition in pigeons by teaching them to press a button with their beak to be fed. And then eventually, after they'd learned that pressing the button meant food came out, he changed it so food was distributed.
I can do it. Press the button. I can do it. Press the button. I can do it. Press the button. You can do it too. Bom, bom, bom. Sorry, that's just for Judy in case she listens to
this. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, carry on.
I like the fact that they say you shouldn't put toddlers in front of TV all the time. I think it's more damaging to their parents than the toddlers.
That's from Show Me, Show Me.
Is it?
Yes. Anyway, carry on. The superstitious pigeon pecking at the button
so food would come out. And then eventually you change it so food doesn't come out when they press the button, but at random. So I think maybe a light comes on, and when the light's on, they know to press the button.
So they make the causality, and then suddenly you flip the rules, and the pigeon goes mad.
The food just goes out when it comes out. There's no pattern to it whatsoever. It's just at random. And the pigeon will start to believe in its own little superstitions. Pigeons, so if the pigeon turns around before the food comes out...
I want to see you tonight.
That's a little Shuttleworth tribute.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just start throwing tributes throughout the program.
So if the pigeon turns around on the spot and then the food comes out, it'll think, oh, turning around on the spot makes food come out. So it'll start doing that. And it'll start developing these suppositions. And of course, you can transpose this onto so many factors of Christianity. I was going to say Christianity and, of course, woo medicine.
Oh, dear. You had a little slip there, didn't you?
No, I was going to say it in a second. I was going to say so much of humanity from Christianity through to woo medicine, through to all different sorts of things where people say, I did this one thing and then this happened and therefore there's correlation.
Post hoc.
And connection.
Ergo propter hoc.
Exactly. So this was this pigeon experiment was really useful. Dexter has fallen into one of these pigeon mannerisms. He jumps up on the table while we're eating, which Laura tried to ban at first, and I was happy with.
Well, Laura tried to ban Dexter at first.
No, she didn't.
Originally, she did. No. They had a very bad relationship, and they went to counselling, and they've sorted it out now.
She's never shared this with me.
Well, you
know. That's interesting. So,
I think it's on air that she really didn't like him.
So, no, she didn't dislike Dexter.
Episode 40-something, I think you'll find.
So, he jumps up on the table. And but it's
you
a big...
love Dexter more than you than you love her.
Well, obviously,
and
I do. I've known Dexter for 5 years and Laura for 3. So
yeah, exactly.
What do you expect? Yeah. Dexter flopped over on the table, like kind of flopped onto his side and started wriggling around, being
quite cute.
Why did
you do this?
Because I don't know. I think he thought it was going to be cute. And on that occasion,
he was wrong, wasn't he?
He got given a little nibble of food.
Saying, say, well done, you were being cute.
And now, but no, it's just coincidence because that one time there was something he was allowed to eat. Mm-hmm. Now, every single mealtime, he jumps up onto the table and flops onto his side and then is bemused when food doesn't get distributed to him.
One water pistol, properly aimed, would stop that superstition in its tracks.
He's absolutely convinced that lying on his side makes food arrive. It's really quite bizarre.
Are you, though? Do you go to Laura when, after a hard day at work, just lie on your side and
one
say,
time,
where's my food?
One time, I finished my food before Laura and she had lots of lovely dinner left. So I did climb up onto the table and roll onto
Did you really?
Side.
Or you just say that to be
yes,
funny?
Yes, no, I did.
And then
this,
what happened?
And she still wouldn't give me any food.
That's quite spiteful of her.
I know, I thought it would work because it works for Dexter.
And what happened instead?
Don't press buttons.
Just... Okay, what happened instead?
Nothing. She just said that I was an idiot.
Were you an idiot?
Well, I was rolling around on the table, so purring, so probably yes.
And what was Dexter there at this time thinking?
Dexter
oh
was,
my
I think,
God. He'd gone away for the weekend.
He was sorry. He
got to the in-laws.
That's right.
Sorry, I just can't be around you when you're like this, John.
Let's stop talking about Dexter. If you want to read about the adventures of Dexter, you should buy the Cat magazine.
I
or
know.
Read it in your local vet.
Yes.
This is really funny. People I know, I've been writing in international best-selling magazines for 13 years, and only now are people coming up going, I saw an article that you wrote in a magazine. Now
I didn't write it. My cat wrote it. What's Dexter been talking about in the Cat?
I can't remember because I'm always writing. It's a quarterly magazine, so I'm always writing like a season ahead. It's really hard to remember what has been published and what hasn't.
No, it's a good. Is it a popular column? Is Dexter receiving any fan mail?
I haven't seen any. Then to be honest, I don't really read the magazine because it's just about cats, and I don't care about cats just like Dexter.
But then you don't read PC Gamer either.
I know, I haven't read PC Gamer for a long time.
It's still out.
Yes, still going.
Sure?
Making lots of money.
The Dead Tree still going?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Even now?
Although they're doing very well on their iOS versions of their magazines are phenomenal, apparently. So.
Really?
Uh-huh. The new newsstand thing.
Oh, really? That's where it's all going.
Which makes sense. I mean, reading a magazine on an iPad is pretty much perfect, I would think.
Especially the new iPad.
Exactly. It just looks lovely. And you swoop through the magazine. You get the feel of the layout of a magazine, which I think is...
Well, those who still want it.
The web. No, I think the web massively misses the layout. So webs are either in columns or the latest fashion is for tiles. I know tiles is a nice idea, but unfortunately Windows 8 is going to make them unbearable.
Windows 8 looks like a mess to me.
Exactly, it's just a mess of mad tiles. A magazine can lay out extraordinary features. And it can have the page furniture can change. But you can't do stuff like that with a website.
You will as HTML5 becomes more sophisticated.
I hope so, and I really think that's the way forward for online journalism and writing. But at the moment, magazines have that massive advantage, so I can see the idea of getting those on your tablet seems superb.
Hmm.
It's no good on an iPhone because you can't enjoy the layout.
No.
So it's got to be a tablet. And I think that's doing very well for them. But no, I haven't... The magazine stopped being anything I was interested in a long time before I stopped writing for it. It was it's good. I'm not suggesting it's not good.
I'm suggesting it's not good.
I haven't read it. There's so many new writers on the mag I've never read now, so I'm so behind on what they're like. I read their stuff on the website, but No, I don't read any magazine. I privatise any magazine I read.
Do you think you'll ever buy another book?
Yes, I do.
That's in paper.
Yes, absolutely. I still prefer books to reading.
So I asked you this a few months ago, and I was wondering whether...
No, I still prefer books to my Kindle.
What I do find is that some of the layout conversions are shockingly bad.
I've seen paper books,
and then I've looked on the Kindle, and, you know, there are misspacings, and when column data is supposed to be there, it's not there properly, and weird, you know, the outcut boxes and things like that are just kind of inlaid in the middle of the text in a way that's quite confusing.
And they don't...
It's shoddy format, badly done.
They paginate based on the... zooming of your font size and stuff. I don't want that. I want it to be...
You can never go to many page words X, but that is a problem, though.
Yes.
That is a problem because that means that... because you couldn't reformat it then.
That's fine, but have the option to reformat, but let me have the option to have it in its original size and original page.
But that begs the question that there is an original. If that's the only format it's in, then it won't
true.
Be original.
That's true, but there's a number of books I've read where that's important, that's significant, and that would be lost on...
Well, things like bibliography is a problem. Go to page 227, yes, exactly, line 3. Well, where is that?
Yes. It's dynamic. So no, I still prefer holding a book. I'm not saying this in any sort of nostalgic way. It's just aesthetically, I prefer a book.
Nostalgic way.
It's not a nostalgic thing. I don't really have.
No.
I like electronic stuff.
All of it.
Everything, anything, as long as it's got electric in it, I like it.
You like the electric chair, then?
The electric chair is my absolute favourite.
We still haven't gone to see the Muppet
movie. Way better than regular chairs. But it's too late now, Nick. It won't be on the cinema anymore.
Judith went to see the cinema the other day.
I know. What did she go to see?
Ponyo. Ponyo.
Ponyo.
Which is another production.
Studio Giggles.
I like his stuff. Spirited Away is the best thing that he did, though, isn't it?
I thought it was a bit boring.
Well, you're just so wrong and stupid.
Okay. It wasn't bad.
You're stupid and wrong.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you not like My Neighbour Totoro either?
I think I like that one. I'm fairly certain I've... enjoyed
it's worth with all those little ghost spirit spiders going through the house. Little spiders, and the mother's ill, so they have to visit the mother. and there's cat bus.
Yes, indeed.
That's My Neighbour Totoro. And you liked that one, did you?
I think so. It's been a long time since I saw them, though.
Yeah.
What did I just see that I quite enjoyed? Oh, I just saw
Dallas,
the Elmo documentary. Uh-huh.
What's that?
It starts off... The ending is so disappointing. It's the documentary about Kevin Clash, who does Elmo for Sesame Street, as we've previously discussed.
Yes, yeah.
I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the documentary is really good. It's his origins, how he got started. There's so much film of him when he was young in Baltimore making puppets, because obviously I assume a local news program must have done a bit on him, so they had lots of great footage. And it was just talking about how he's just dreamer from the moment Sesame Street started was to be honest, and this guy and how he achieved it, how he got there, and then working with Jim Henson, all this stuff was really great. But then then they mention his divorce and the fact that he was away from home too much and didn't see so much of his daughter. But then it kind of just gets all a bit, the divorce is never mentioned again. And then then they show him at his daughter's sweet 16, so obviously everything's okay now. And then there's no mention about Sesame Street.
It's not doing
the
job of a documentary.
Exactly. It then suddenly, rather than it just becomes, from as soon as it's done with his history, it just becomes a puff piece. And there's no mention of how the collapse of Sesame Street, there's no mention of what it's become and how it's a pale shadow of its former self, the advertising, the sponsorship.
It's awful.
The death of Jim Henson is covered, but then nothing else after that.
How did Jim Henson die? What was it?
No one knows. And that's why it's almost mysterious.
Was it suicide?
That's the thing that...
Often when people are all coy, that's what they mean is happening.
Or AIDS are the two things, isn't it? AIDS suicide
or AIDS. Was there any reason he would have AIDS?
I don't know. I mean,
Is he a gayer?
No, married with kids and stuff. I know it's not. It doesn't mean you're not, but I don't think there's any hint that he was.
Maybe he had good AIDS.
It could be he had good AIDS.
Yeah.
all American listeners, just watch Brass Eye on YouTube and then, then you'll know. Yes, he was a serious and wonderful man, as far as I can tell, Jim Henson. But yes,
did he have his demons? I mean, was he troubled in any way?
That's why I keep looking for them and never find them. Now, whether people have protected him and haven't shared them, I don't know. But yes, his death is all a bit peculiar. There was some sort of cause, and he was only 48 or 50 or something when he died. He was
came as a surprise. And
I think he was in his 50s, and he was too young. And he was such a. The other thing was, he was just and his prime when he died as well, because he'd started doing movies.
Yeah.
And they were so inventive and so interesting.
Mm.
And they were on such a scale, like when they were showing just behind the scenes of what was the one he did before Labyrinth? I've never seen, and I really want to see.
I don't know.
Whatever movie he made before Labyrinth,
When they still made sets,
They were inventing new robots just to be able to make his imagination come alive. That's what was so exciting about him.
Yes.
Yes, but anyway, so the movie just, it didn't talk about the fact, the only thing it talked about was that Clash had spent too much time away from his home and too much time doing Elmo stuff around the world. But then I was really sure it would then be like, you know, it's such a shame that Sesame Street now is where it's at and Elmo's world makes up half of it now. And
do you know what I always like about Sesame Street?
What was that?
And even at the time I found them quite wistful. What there would be is you'd have the normal on-set stuff and you'd have the cuts on puppets doing their other skits and so on. Yeah. But then you'd have these weird, very wistful, slightly blurry 16mm film editions of children's running around in fields park, and parks with the weird wobbly music playing in the background. and then we cut off the film back again. And I always found that those were
melancholic,
but I found that even when I was young I found them melancholic. I found them boring, but I appreciated them.
Oh, okay.
I appreciated their aesthetic in a weird way. It sort of made up for the It made up the texture of the thing to a degree.
There was some. It was a very strange program, and it was really weirdly cobbled together.
The polka dot door. They didn't have that in this country. See you soon at the polka dot door. That was a Canadian program. The sort of the kiddie program which was exported to South Africa, but never came here. I believe. So maybe somebody who's listening who is from Canada will suddenly feel very happy.
We never had Captain Kangaroo either. Kevin Clash started on that as well.
Nor did you have The Electric Company.
No.
Which is another thing I saw when I was in America. I was privileged to be there for a couple of
years. What year was it that you were there?
When was it? Was it 83 or so, I think.
You were 8, weren't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you were 8 when you were in America.
No. No, younger than that.
Yeah. Younger than it certainly wasn't 83.
Oh, no. Oh. I'm getting confused. No, yes, I must have been. Oh, I don't know. No, you're right, actually, because I think Carter had just left. So that was 81.
Gosh. You're so old, Nick.
Remember President Carter?
No, I don't remember President Carter.
I remember being told that there was a man called President Carter who had just gone and they'd got rid of him. I said, why did they get rid of him? Was he a bad man? No, they voted him. What does voting mean?
Excellent.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, we won't have yet a new mayor of London.
That's true. Before you said, I was going to say, I was on the train and I sat next to a guy, an adult man,
filling in a form. Why?
And it was an underground train, I had no choice.
You could have stood.
No, I couldn't. Oh, okay. So, and he was filling in a form and he put down his date of birth as 1990, and I wanted to go, date of birth, not
the day when you last bought a CD single.
The last time I got annoyed by someone writing 1990 as their date of birth was when I was doing youth work with a really young youth group. I was like, what? People can't have been born in the 90s. And now they're adults, proper grown-ups, actual men.
You can have sex with them. You can have sex on the tube train with somebody born in 1990 and nobody would bat an eyelid.
Can't touch you for it.
You don't even need to have the smallest amount of clotted cream.
Not even a plip. Not even a crumb of a scone.
A crumb of a scone, not needed. Somebody born in the 90s.
It's just, not even the 90s, 1990. Yeah, how far?
In the 90s.
Hang on, how far into the 90s can you go?
How far is it legal?
What's 12 minus 18?
You don't
minus
know.
Minus 6. It's 94.
No. 1994. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. 1994 was when all the best music was existing.
So my book that I wrote, the UK School Internet Primer, would now, I could legally have sex with it.
Finally, you don't need to feel the shame about having sex with your book.
Yes. It's weird, though, because when I was making it, they had to produce photographic plates.
Oh, yes.
Of each page and that kind of thing. I thought, this is ridiculous. Why are we still having to produce these huge film photographic plates to print from? Oh, one day we will be able to engrave directly onto the ridiculous situation.
In 1894, when that book was published.
Yeah, do look up the chapter about waste, wide area information systems, and Gopher. Please do. You know, it's very important information you need to know about.
Do you remember, you know, when you...
And that chapter on Usenet newsgroups.
I don't think it's really possible anymore, but do you remember when you were younger and you'd hear about someone who was born in, like, 1896?
Mm.
You're like, you were born in the 19th century, or that, yeah. You've, of course, gone the 18th century, because that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I think we should just all agree to go, yes, it is the 18th, and we're now in the 20th century because it starts with 20, and we can just all agree that makes more sense and stick with it. I understand the issue with the first century, but I'm okay with it. It's the north century, and now we can just carry on.
Okay.
It's been decided. So, yes, when you've got 18, well, Nick, there's going to come a day when little children are going to look up at us and go, you were born in the 20th century.
Yeah,
1977. Actually, I say that, there are already children going, you were born in 1977. There are people, my friends, adult friends of mine going, oh, like 77?
Awful.
Doesn't
awful
that mean you're a caveman?
You were born in the 70s where people had bell bottoms and things.
A friend who was born in like 1989, I think he was born. That's an adult friend.
Well, your wife.
Oh, gosh, yes. Laura would have been in.
Well, when was it?
83.
She was born in the 80s. Laura was born in the 80s.
I know. 83, she was,
Born by... When she was born, you were already playing with computers.
Well, that... No, 83. When was the ZX81?
80.
It was 84, wasn't it?
No, it was 80.
Really?
I believe it was 80 or 81.
It would have been.
Because the IBM PC was only 80-something, 83.
It would have been.
I think so. I mean, I could be completely wrong. Crazy. Or it was 82, I don't know. Whatever the case is. I think you were probably already... You'd been interested in a computer.
When I was 21 and started doing youth work... Laura would have been a 15-year-old. She would have been in one of my youth groups. I'm that youth worker.
You are that youth worker.
Do you know how common that is? It's really common. Youth workers not being improper, but actually waiting until a member of their youth group is 18 and then copping off, parting their up. And then,
I don't know if I would...
Those relationships want... working out.
No, but I don't know if I would feel able to do that simply because it would feel... You know, that the sister mechanism would kick in, as you said.
I was saying last week, yeah, that the whole thing...
And people do have,
like,
big problems with that. People... who are brought up in non-standard situations, like in kibbutzim and things like that. So when there's a lot of unrelated people, but they're brought up very close-knit.
Right.
And they have a problem in that nobody wants to get married to one another in those situations because the kind of the those instincts kick in.
Yes,
so
indeed.
It causes an issue. So I wondered, but clearly not with youth work, so you're sitting there the whole time. Come on,
just be 18. Come on, be 18.
But be honest. Not that you'll be honest on the podcast, because you can't be. Have you ever
been a paedophile?
No, not a paedophile. But have you ever seen, like, somebody who's like 17 or something? Actually, you know, if she were older, I would be interested.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but people who
adult post. Yeah, but people who, girls.
Yeah, but people who don't say some people won't admit that, and I'm suspicious of those people because that means they're repressing something very badly.
I think you can look at a 17-year-old and go. And say, oh, she's very pretty.
And if I were in biblical times, I would already have her as my old wife.
If I were 40 years younger.
Yeah.
But once you get to know them, you go, oh, you're 17.
Yes.
And at that point, if you're still interested, I think you've got your own issues to deal with at that point.
But what happens when they turn 18?
Clearly not paedophilia. But if you're 18, I still think 18's pretty young. I mean, if you're 19 and she's 18 or he's 18, then please, nothing wrong with it. But
what if you're 20 and
she's
18?
When you're in your 30s, what if you're in your 18-year-olds, I just think...
What if you're in your 80s?
When you're in your 80s, it's fine again.
I think it is. I think at that stage, effectively, the dynamic is...
Do what you like.
Frankly, if you can get an 18-year-old to be interested in you by the time you're 80...
I'm going to say from 80 onward, laws don't count for you anymore.
Yeah, you do what you want.
You're fine. How old is Robert Mugabe?
Apparently he's, fingers crossed, apparently he's very ill.
He's on the way up. How old is he? He's in his 80s,
yeah,
isn't he?
Well, of course, that's why.
That's fine.
That's why I was able to do what he was
able to do. Does not need to go anywhere near the courts.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
he can commit as much genocide as he wants.
Which he is, and did. So
indeed. I just noticed a small flaw in my otherwise brilliant system of cancelling laws.
Well done, Rob. Robbie.
Well, Robs. Robbie Pops.
Robson.
Robson and Drone.
What happened to them?
I have no idea.
One of Simon Cowell's early acts.
Ah, interesting.
They were.
I remember seeing them on Soldier Soldier.
What was that?
It was a drama about squaddies and their wives. I think I saw one or two episodes of it.
Do you like the phrase squaddy? Does it make you feel all cozy about them? No, or is it a scary term?
It's a horrible, scary term.
It's not a happy term. No. All squaddy.
Our boys. Out there murdering people for us.
Our boys. But you're all like Dr. Goldacre. You don't want the Olympics either, do you?
I would rather the money had not been spent on something so trivial.
You
want
to spend the kiddies and the hospitals and the churches and
the roads and the infrastructures
and John Walker.
I wouldn't mind if they spent the billions and billions maybe on the NHS would have been better. But it's fine. I don't know. I was really hoping it would go to Paris just purely for the lack of inconvenience it would have caused.
You're going to lose a lot of listeners. Actually, no, you won't, because none of the people listen to this are sporty.
They're sports, no. They're too busy. They're so fat that they can't even get up to change the channel over to Sky Sports. They're just stuck.
They're playing games.
They're stuck on Dave, and that's where they have to stay.
Stuck on
Dave. That's right.
That should be the name of a short story. Stuck on Dave.
Stuck on Dave.
Somebody whose life just basically became glued into the output of the Dave channel.
I didn't know that Dave showed Man vs. Food, so now suddenly I'm in favour of the Dave
channel.
John? Yes.
Oh dear!
Oh no!
We live in a time.
We do, don't we?
Where we have a television channel called Dave.
Dave. Do you know why it's called Dave?
I like it when it's Channel 1.
Do you know why it's called Dave?
Channel 3, Channel 4. But now we have a television program called
Channel. Worse.
Dave.
Do you know why it's called Dave?
Because I said it's the most trustworthy name.
It's the kind of name that your friend would have. No, my friend's a David. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I would refuse to know somebody called Dave.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
It is mad. I noticed they don't have a Channel Lee.
I do. I have a friend called Dave Richardson.
David. I noticed they don't have a Channel Lee.
Channel Wayne.
The Wayne Channel.
You've got a real issue with Lees, don't you?
I would kill them all. I'd just kill them all.
There's Lee. I know a Lee.
I'd murder every Lee. Lee's quite nice. So if you hear that a Lee's been murdered, it's probably me.
Okay.
Or probably I, to be more accurate, who have done it.
I'll let the police know.
Yeah.
The Popo, as I
call it. The Po-Lee.
See, it's right in the name.
Yeah.
You should murder the police.
Yeah, that's murder the pigs.
yeah, we're there. Did we talk about do you trust a policeman before?
Sort of.
I was asking Laura this the other day. If you see a policeman, do you feel safer or less safe?
Depends the context.
Your instinctive reaction.
Depends on the context. If I were in somewhere that I felt unsafe because of other contexts,
okay,
and I saw a policeman sort of just bumbling about, I would probably feel safer.
Okay.
But. If I were in a position where I felt generally at ease with myself and I suddenly saw a policeman, especially in a car, funnily enough, in his police car, I find them more friendly. When they're walking about, a little less so, but when they're in their cars staring at you, I don't like seeing police in cars at all. That upset me.
It was exactly the same. If I see a policeman without there being any reason to want one, I find it uncomfortable. I've never been a smash the pigs kind of person, but I still find myself...
They're not trustworthy. They're certainly not trustworthy, no.
And I've just seen the way that they behave institutionally.
They will...
In so many awful circumstances.
I treat them probably the same way that I would treat a dangerous wild animal...
Right.
...that is nevertheless well-fed and probably doesn't want to eat me, but just at a whim, if it happens to be like that...
But if you annoy it, it will...
You happen to step on its tail or something, or you happen to be walking in front of it when it doesn't want you to be doing it. I do see them like that. I have to be honest, I see them as quite wild creatures.
Right.
Because in a sense, they are wild, because they have so much power at their disposal, and they're generally quite stupid.
Interesting.
Well, they are. They're quite stupid people. The average policeman is stupid. And reactionary, by definition.
By definition?
Yes. That's why they're attracted to the position, and the sorts of things that they have to do in order to become a policeman are quite stultifying. So I think that because the person in front of you is probably quite stupid, is probably quite reactionary, is also happy to be... And is on a power trip. Most of them are on power trips.
Are you saying that DL and Pasco are stupid? Is that what you're saying?
Those names sound stupid.
Inspector A Touch of Frost is stupid.
Inspector A Touch of Frost.
He's a genius.
Yes, of course.
You're wrong.
I'm sure there are very clever policemen.
Yes.
But on average, it's fair to say that you are going to be more intelligent than the policeman in front of you.
I grew up in a street that was parallel to a street of police housing.
So right.
It's kind of, the casual housing for policemen.
Yes. Yeah.
And we nearly time, gosh.
We're over time by 2 minutes.
I don't think we have to, but we're not beholden to a time. And that was the nasty area of the otherwise quite nice villagey type thing I grew up in. Mm. It was the police housing street was the bad one. And it was all the thuggish kids would hang out there. They were the kids of the policemen. And it was like the one bit you did wasn't so nice to go to.
Yes.
Which I think maybe is influential on me. That was strange to grow up with.
Yeah.
Police. Good old the pops. The bacon.
Yeah. I reckon we could do with a lot less of them, actually.
Fewer.
No, less of them.
What, just smaller policemen?
No, just less of police presence, you know, there's just less, okay, less of them.
You're wriggling right for that.
No, I mean less of them, not fewer of them.
I want shorter policemen.
No, not fewer of them. I don't want fewer of them necessarily. I want less of them.
Less presence.
Yeah, less of them. They're just too much.
You don't want more bobbies on the beat?
No.
But you have to want that. It says so in all the newspapers. Oh, yeah. That's what you have to want.
I think they're quite useless.
And then the Conservatives and the Labour have to shout at how many bobbies they put on the beat.
The police are generally quite rubbish. They're quite useless, actually. They don't really do their job well.
A teenager, I was a couple of friends. We were 16 and we went to Woking for the day.
Wow.
Just to go shopping, I think.
It's where the shops were when you were young.
No, there were shops in Guildford, but Woking had more. So we went to this. We were dropped off by our mum, I think my mum, in a multi-storey car park. And we came out and we walked down to go into the shops and this policeman stopped us. And he said, "Wait, what have you three been doing?" And we said, "Well, we're just
mind your own beeswax."
And he said, "There's been reports of people throwing stuff off the roof." And we said, "Well, we haven't thrown stuff off the roof." And he kept saying, and then we explained to him, "We'd just been dropped off by mum. We went this way, found this entrance was blocked, so we went another way to the stairs, came down." And he goes, "Yeah, that's the route that the people throwing the stuff off the roof took," he said. And at this point, we were like, "Well, you're lying now," because that had contradicted something he'd already said. Oh, he said that the something that had been thrown had hit an old, had just hit someone, and that they'd been taken away in an ambulance.
Hmm.
Like, so I was like, "So in the time it's taken us to walk down from the roof of this car park, an ambulance has been called, arrived, and taken this woman away, has it?"
Amazing.
Oh, it's just, and it was so, and that again, it was a really influential of just a policeman abusing power and lying, just making up really obvious lies.
That's done with such ease.
And threat as well. Ease and threat. So he was threatening us. And it was just weird. We're like, "We know you're lying. You know you're lying. What is this achieving?"
And yet, you know, that was the smallest microcosm of if there were really something seriously needed to make a point of that they wished to. You know, that would be a, that you experience the tiniest bit of it.
Mm. And that was, again, that was just, for me, another kind of very forming opinion of the of the police. It's just someone like, "I can't trust you because you're lying to me and you're accusing me and my friends of something we obviously haven't done."
Right, the only
and
police,
probably didn't happen.
The only police we could trust are probably going to be the robot police.
Probably you're going the same way, robot police. Excellent.
Yeah.
What about when they turn on us?
Well, let's hope that they turn on us all equally.
You made an argument quite a few years ago. You said that there will never be any notion of equality until we have robots to do the menial work.
Mm.
Now, I wondered what, because you you talked about that in the sense of something you thought was going to happen.
Well, no, but, I mean, it either will happen or won't.
What are the possibilities of that with current amounts of oil?
Current amounts of oil, impossible.
Right, so it isn't going to happen, then, is it?
Well, it depends. If we manage to crack fusion, it'll be all right.
Okay, so then we can have fusion robots.
Well, yeah, but what will happen is that the fusion plants will probably take water and split it and create hydrogen,
right,
and then the robots will be hydrogen cell powered.
Ticking atom bombs.
Well, no, they'll be hydrogen.
No, they'll all be splitting their hydrogen atoms and blowing up.
No, hydrogen. No, hydrogen bombs are fusion bombs, so they don't split. They bang together and create helium.
No, these ones are worse.
Split hydrogen bombs. And produce what happens when the hydrogen splits?
You get
the proton
bomb.
Flows away.
You get a bomb.
Away from
it's a bomb. It's a robot bomb.
A robot bomb. Hydrogen. It's like in the test tube where you put the little splint and go, boop, and the hydrogen burns. That's what a hydrogen bomb is. It's just a bit bigger.
It is.
I'm glad you understand physics. Yes.
What if those robots bang into each other and they're made of hydrogen? Then that's going to
be like the Hindenburg disaster.
It will be.
The humanity, the roboticity.
Right, we're not going to beat that. We should stop.
Stop now. Stop. Stop, exterminate. Oh, no, those weren't robots. Are they? They're not robots, actually.
They are robots. They are
sort of robots. They're cyborgy.
No, they're not. They're
jelly robots.
Little weird hand-shaped alien creatures driving around in a robot.
Jelly robots.
So it's more like a car than a robot, I suppose.
So they're basically just jellies in a car.
I think so. Although I think that mythology does keep changing, what they actually are inside. I don't know if there's any consistency to that, because I don't think the programme wisely has ever cared.
No.
The fans desperately clawing around trying to create a canon where the producers don't give a toss.
I don't care. Well, you know what Russell Davis did?
What's
he
that?
Basically screwed the possibility of ever giving a toss with the, yes, everybody knows everything about all the Doctor Who world.
You won't believe how many people argue against my arguing that this was the worst thing he could have done.
They're probably called Lee. They don't understand it. Piss off, Lee.
Yeah, if anyone called Lee is listening to this,
you can have your surname Lee. No, your surname can be Lee.
Stuart and if Lee it's, is obviously listening.
Yeah, of course. And if you're a girl and you're called Lee, short for Leanne or something like that.
Lee Alexander, the great game journalist. That's
fine. But if you're male and your first name is Lee,
L-E-I-G-H, that's okay.
Yeah, if you're male and your first name is L-E-E, then go away. And have yourself sterilised as well, I think.
Yes, absolutely. No question.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.